everyone. Hope you've had a great week. Thanks for tuning into our podcast and hope it encourages you, inspires you as you go about your week. Here's today's message.
If I was to say to you this morning, do you think you have balance in your Christian life? I wonder what you'd say. You'd probably say, what do you mean by balance? Or you might say, I think so. How do we know whether we have good balance in our Christian life and our walk with Jesus, either as an individual, as a family, or even as a church? And this passage, I think, helps answer that particular question as to what balance is. When we look at them, I want you to notice there are three distinct parts to this passage. First is, and I should say this before we read it, is that the whole of this chapter is about seeds. There's the parable of the sower, which is all about seeds. And then there's the story of the mustard seed, again about seeds. And then there is this unique little parable here, which is nowhere else in the Gospels or in Scripture. And what makes it even more interesting is Jesus doesn't even give an explanation, just tells a story. And in the chapter, it's about the kingdom of God, about how God's kingdom, how God's church, how we as individuals function. And here we have this unique, and it is unique, little story that Jesus tells. And I think it's helpful in terms of understanding balance. I want you to notice that there are three parts to the story. First of all, he also said this is what the kingdom of God is like. Part one, a man scatters seed on the ground. Part two, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Part three, all by itself, the soil produces again, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel on the head. And then part three, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. And I think it's important, when I looked at this and puzzled over it and read the commentators on it, and you read the commentators on it, most of them talk about it in terms of it's about growing and growth in the kingdom. And I think it's important to analyse those three parts. Now I need three people. Can I pick you three? Would you like to come at the front here? I'm not going to embarrass you or do anything awkward. You're simply going to be holder-uppers. Okay, first one is the sowing. Can you see that? I hope everyone can see it. I've got it around the wrong way. Let's start again. There's the sowing. Then there's the growing, okay? And then, forgive my picture of this poor little guy, and that's a weak example of a sickle down the bottom there. There's the reaping. So when you look at this passage, there's sowing, there's growing, and then there's reaping. Is everyone down with that? That's what the passage is talking about. Now, the interesting thing is that the sowing here involves us. This is us. Now, I don't think it's just talking about evangelism and sowing the seed. I think it's just talking about our lives, sowing our lives, okay? The interesting thing with this bit here is we're not in this at all. Because when you look at the passage, look at it, Jesus makes it very, very clear that the guy who sowed the seed has nothing whatsoever to do with the growing. He says, all by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, finally, then comes the reaping. Okay? So when we were talking about how we function in the kingdom of God, we're talking about we have a part, don't we? Then this obviously is, in the story, it's nature that produces this. But obviously this is God's part. So we have a part, God has a part, and then we have the joy together of the reaping. And my friends, that's what balance is. Thanks heaps, you've been a great help. I've got a friend who I Zoom once a month up in Queensland. He's a young guy, 26. He's in charge of a Church of Christ up there, and he was telling me how he went to a funeral service. And at this funeral service, he shared the gospel, shared how to come to know Jesus. And in the gathering of the people around there, around the grave, was an elderly man. He was 87, right? And this man had refused to darken the doorsteps of a church. Didn't want to have anything to do with it, right? And after my friend Brad had shared over the casket as it was lowered and talked about Jesus, this guy said to one of his friends, "I wouldn't mind going along to his church." And the guy was shocked, because any effort to get this guy to church seemed impossible. So this elderly gentleman comes along to the church, has a talk to Brad, and this is so unusual with elderly people, unfortunately, but it was brilliant. Brad led him to Christ at 87. I was talking to Brad this week. He's now been in the kingdom of God for about 5 or 6 months. He says he rocks up 20 minutes before church starts, has his little, what do you call those things, rollers or whatever it is, walkers, walks into church, and he sits down, and he just waits for the church service to start. Now, what's happened here? Brad sowed the seed. That's the sowing. In the middle is God's part. There's no way that Brad by himself could lead this guy to Jesus, because he was so hard-hearted. And God does his mysterious growing work within the heart of this guy. And in the end, there is a joy of reaping. And what comes out of balance when there is our part and God's part and the joy of reaping is growth. Because that's what this parable is all about. It's about growth. And I think more than anything else, we need to understand that balance brings growth. B-B-G. Say that when you have lunch today. B-B-G. Balance brings growth. And as I said before, I'm constantly amazed that God would want to use me. Do you ever have that sense of awe? Really, did God need Brad to lead this guy to the Lord? He could have done it without Brad. But as Ian Bound says, God's method is man or humanity. And you are part of that. Now, to have balance, if I haven't convinced you that BBG is true, balance brings growth, have a think about this. Here's Moses, right? He's shaking in his gumboots beside the Red Sea. And the Egyptian, you know the story, Egyptians are coming and they're about to take him out. And he stands there and he does his part. God says, "Raise your rod." So he raises his rod over the Red Sea. That was his part. Have you ever thought, I wonder what Moses would have felt like if God didn't fulfill his part? He would have looked an absolute turkey, wouldn't he? Just holding a rod over there and nothing happening. But that he holds the rod, he fulfills his part. God fulfills his part, has this incredible path through the Red Sea, walls of water. Oh, look, there's an octopus and a shark and a jellyfish in the water. Must have been amazing. And they walk through, they get the other side, the water collapses. You know the story. The Egyptians are drowned. But I love what follows after. Do you remember what happened after? Miriam, Moses' sister, composes this song. And it's a song of joy and a song of victory. And you can't tell me that at that moment, the children of Israel didn't grow in their relationship with God. It's interesting, Hebrews says that it wasn't just Moses' faith that raised the water as he trusted God, but the people of Israel as they walked through the water. Hebrews attributes faith to them as well. They did their part, they walked through the water. God did his part, he parted the water, and out of this came growth in appreciation and joy in appreciation of God. I could go on. Remember the story about Jesus sends his disciples out two by two. Sends them out and they do miracles there and miracles there. And they come back and they say, "Well, Lord, you cannot believe what happened." And can you imagine Peter saying, "That's nothing. You wait till I tell you what happened when I was out there." And they're all gathered around and they're sharing their stories, a little bit like after a camp when lots of good stuff's happened. They did their part, Jesus sent them out. They're obedient. God did his part, he gave them miraculous. And you can't tell me that they didn't grow out of that experience. Because the balance between those two brought growth and joy. Because Jesus said, "Man, I saw Satan falling from heaven from what you guys were doing out there when you're out there two by two." Balance brings growth. I don't know whether you do this. I don't know. Put your hands up if you have bread on your table at lunchtime or dinner time. You have bread. Hands up. Not many now. Everybody used to do it at one stage. When I was at Bible college, just after the ark landed, we used to have bread on the table, right? And it was like this. This is special Coles bread, $2.40 from Coles in Healesville. And I hate to say this. Well, what was really good was in Bible college they taught us you need to serve the ladies first and serve the person on your left. That's great. I love that. Because the top left, top piece of bread is always staler than that, everything underneath. Yeah, look, I had my luck. Look, I'm nearly 80 now, and I don't feel it. And I've been a Christian since I was 7. But do you ever feel sometimes like that top piece of bread? Can't explain this, but there's sort of like a creeping staleness that has crept into your life. Be a little bit like if I said to Jeff, "Okay," I blindfolded Jeff and I said, "Right, hold the broom up now," and you've lost balance. Or do you feel as though sometimes Jesus is on the other side of the room and it's a party and it's very noisy and he's trying to talk to you, but you're not getting it? And probably worst case scenario, there are times when you think, "How long can I keep on faking this when I know that something is wrong?" And my guesstimation out of that is that what is wrong is balance. between what we have seen in this particular parable. And I want to give you some reasons as to why that may be the case in your life and in my life as well. I think the first reason is, remember the picture over here of the sowing? It's a picture of a person who knows what God wants them to do. And I think one of the reasons that we have balance or lack of balance or imbalance in our lives is we've either forgotten or we don't know what God is calling us to do. And you have a sense of lostness. Let me give you just three very quick reasons why that may be the case. If the internet is down between you and the Lord, you are not going to know what he wants you to do. And by the internet, I mean your relationship. Your sins have separated you from God, Isaiah says. Psalmist says, if I cherish sin in my heart, he will not hear me. If we're not in step with Jesus, even though we might have come to know Jesus, how can we hear what he wants us to do? And automatically, our life goes out of balance. There may be another reason. This is a curious one. I think you'll know what I'm talking about. There are times when God wants you to seek him more over something or someone, and you don't do it. And when that seek factor in our life diminishes, we lose balance. James says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He's there waiting. But for some reason or other, the desire in our hearts to seek him has diminished to the point that if that desire was like we'd eat, we'd be anorexic. If you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me, Jeremiah says. So number one reason why we can't find what God wants us to do is the internet's down. Number two reason is, man, I'm not seeking him like he's desiring me to seek him. And number three, it's a very obvious one, is you might know about God or about Jesus, but you don't know him. Like, I know King Charles. Well, I know about King Charles. I know a few things about him because I've seen a few documentaries on him. But can King Charles help me with my issues and my problems? No, he doesn't know me. I don't know him. And is it possible that even in a church, as I speak to you this morning, someone sitting here, and you know about Christianity, but it's never been real to you, and you don't know Jesus, and you're outside of the kingdom of God, and this stuff here doesn't really apply, because the first thing you need to do is to get by yourself and say, I recognize I do not know you, Jesus. I'm sorry for leaving you out of my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin, and because you're alive, come in, I give myself to you. And when you do that, that's the start of balance in a way such as will blow your mind. So the first reason why it is we can lose balance is we don't know what it is God's calling us to. Well, some of you see and say, oh, hang on, wait a minute. I know what God's calling me to. I know. God's given me a family. He's called me to be a parent. God's given me a job. God's given me a ministry. We could go through a whole lot of things that you know that God's called you to. And you say to me, well, how come, even though I know that, that this stillness is there? Well, one reason is this. Remember these pictures? Um, Remember whose part that was? God's part. And when a child of God says, I'm going to do this part, whoa, the balance goes. The balance goes. Because it says very clearly there, all by itself, there is a work that God does in my heart and your heart and in other people's hearts that we cannot replicate. It's the mystery of the divine. I have two beautiful lime trees, very proud of them actually, in our yard in Hillsville. I went out the back and I picked a lime. What did I do wrong? I picked it too early, didn't I? I wasn't prepared for it to work. And I ruined it because I was not prepared to wait for what the final fruit was going to be. You show me a Christian who is not prepared to wait for God's part in that balance, and I'll show you a Christian that is out of balance with God. My old friend Andrew Murray, Jeff gave me a book on him, it's a great book, said words to the effect, and this is so true in my life, I don't know about yours, think of the most painful thing that you've had to do for God, and then go one step up the rung of pain, and you've got waiting. Waiting can be incredibly painful. For some of you, you've waited in a doctor's surgery for your results. That's painful. For some of you, you've been waiting for change in your marriage, and it just doesn't seem to come. For some of you, you've been waiting for God. You know He provides, and you've been waiting for God to provide you with finances, but it hasn't come yet. Some of you have got a particular person in your mind who even flashes onto the screen of your mind now, and you're waiting for that relationship with that person to change, and it hasn't come. For those of you in my bracket, you're waiting for provision while your superannuation is dissolving in the present economy. How's God going to look after me? You're waiting for God to heal you emotionally, spiritually, or physically. And the temptation when we face the waiting game for God's part in that balance to happen is to try to do it by yourself. I'm going to go to another church. I'm sick of waiting for this church to change. I'm going to borrow more money because I haven't got the money. I'm going to nag harder and that'll change my partner. Divorce is the only way out of this. Well, what's it matter if I cheat a little bit on my tax return? I need the money. Maybe this is God's way of providing. Well, some of you, I'm good at this one. I'm really good at this one. Swim around in a pool of anxiety. And how we handle that determines balance in our Christian life. He that believes shall not make haste, Isaiah says, 28:16. Are you making haste? Are there things that you're trying to manipulate, to force to happen? Now just think about this. How blasphemous is that? That I try to step in and do God's part. Think about that. And I think every time I do that, I need to repent from the temerity of thinking that I know better than God and I will make this happen. That'll bring balance, lack of balance. And what happens if you fudge in this role and you do that? Well, ask King Saul, who refused to wait for Samuel to come and bless his army as they went out to fight. And he said, well, I'll take the place of the priest. And he lost his kingdom because he refused to wait. Do you and I know what we are losing when we don't wait? Not only lose balance, but we lose joy and we lose growth, because balance brings growth. Last one, the third reason, is, guys, let me get the picture for this one. If the other one is an issue, this one's an issue too. Where is it? Here it is. Our part. And God says to you, I want you to, whatever it is. It'll be different with you than it is with me, won't it? It'll be different. Have you ever had those moments when God says, okay, go out and you know that God's telling you to do whatever it is? He couldn't have made it clearer if he'd written it in blood on your bedroom wall. You know what he wants you to do. And if you're like me, you say, well, Lord, I'm not quite sure. Can you give me a verse from Scripture? Or can you get someone to... And you run up and God is so patient, isn't he? He says, this is what I want you to do. And we lose balance when we don't do it. I wonder if I'm talking to someone here this morning. You know that God wants you to do whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Go and have that difficult conversation. Finally decide to tithe. Go and sit down and talk with that person. Oh, they're so awkward to talk with. I don't know what to talk. I've run out of questions to ask them, and God's saying, no, you go. Or, there's a hard one. God says to you, you need to talk to your partner about, and you are scared to do it. Or you need to talk to your child about. And of course, the thing that stops that is fear, isn't it? Fear. I've had the privilege of going to the second level of the Eiffel Tower. Now, if you ask my wife who's sitting here, this is a picture of me at the Eiffel Tower. There's a barricade across there, or a fence across there, and then straight down. And this is me. Pam says to me, and this is true, Pam says to me, come back. I can't move. I cannot move. I hate heights. And maybe I better get some prayer counselling afterwards. I hate heights. And when this is years ago, we went to Venice. No, not Venice. Vienna, where the... What do you call those roundabouts? Those Ferris wheels. Where Mr. Ferris invented the Ferris wheel. Well, we went up in this Ferris wheel, a whole about 20 people. And it's just rocking backwards and forwards like this. And I'm hanging on there because fear paralyzes me. It's one thing in the Eiffel Tower, but it's another thing when God says, I want you to do it. And you're hanging on. You need to let go. You need to let go. It's hard. I understand that, because I am a fear-prone person by nature, and there are some of you who are like me here today. It's hard. But do it. Because that's what brings the balance in your life. Don't you? You know, one of my favourite stories in the Bible is that story of Jesus walking on the water. You know, they're in the boat. The boat's going up and down like the Titanic, only it looks as though they were going to go to the bottom with the Titanic. And they're in it, and someone says, "Ghost!" And it's Jesus. And he's walking across the water. And you know the story. Peter says, "If that's you, Lord." Now, this is the craziest thing that any disciple ever said. "Bid me come," I think the old King James verse. And the Lord says to Peter, "Come." I wonder if he thought, "What have I done?" So he grabs the sides of the boat, right? And he lifts one foot up and he puts it down on the water, expecting to go straight to Davy Jones's locker. It's like ice. And he's there. He can hear the disciples say, "Way to go, Pete! Way to go!" And he starts walking across the water like this. And you know what happens. Takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts to go down. Where are your eyes? Where are they? If God's telling you to do something, get your eyes back on Jesus and you will walk on that water to whatever it is he's calling you to do. So they're the three things that will ruin your balance. Not knowing what God wants you to do. Do you know what God wants you to do? Not being prepared to wait and take an over God's place. That'll ruin you. And the third one is not doing what God has specifically told you to do. That will bring imbalance in your life. Do those and balance will return. Now, with this I finish. The reason my voice is the way it is for two reasons. One, because I've got a frozen vocal cord, which is lovely. But that frozen vocal cord means that my ability to swallow shrinks stupendously. We have got a ripper. What's the cafe? Not Taiwanese, is it Taiwanese? Yeah, Taiwanese cafe in Lilydale. Not in Lilydale. Thai cafe in Croydon, and we went there to celebrate a birthday the other day, and then we came home. And you know when you're finished, they give you leftovers. Oh, well, I get the leftovers. What about you? I think I've paid for them at home. So yesterday afternoon, there's leftover red Thai curry with long strips of beef. So that's what I'm having for lunch. So we warmed it up. And I take the first bit and put it in my mouth. Oh, that's spicy. You know that spicy, did you like spicy? And then a big bit of meat gets stuck here. And I'm choking for an hour and a half. You know when you're trying to swallow stuff? And people say to you, "Drink something," and you drink it, and it just sits on top of whatever's caught in your gullet, and that'll come. And Pam and I are actually praying, "Lord, help me swallow it." And it's just the worst feeling when it's just stuck in your throat and won't go down, and you're coughing and spluttering, and I won't give you the gory details. I tried to distract myself. I even watched Collingwood playing football. And I had barrels. And it would not go down. We prayed and we prayed. And it's the only thing that I noticed was that I was just so desperate and nothing else mattered. I just wanted this to go down because it was ruining my day. When you're desperate, you'll deal with this stuff. And I guess the question I've got to finish by asking you is, are you desperate? And if you are desperate, then I really would encourage you to do A1, get by yourself before this day is finished, before you put your head on the pillow and sort it out. Or two, or both. If you'd like some prayer for this afterwards, come down and I'm happy to pray with you. I'm sure others would be happy to pray with you. Sometimes it's good to have people in the family come around and pray with you to work through these things. And you guys have listened so well, or pretended to listen so well. Thank you. Let me pray. Gracious God, you look into our hearts right at this moment and you see just where we're at. And I pray, Lord, that you give us hearts that are desperate and want to sort these things out. Thank you that you love us so much that in a little church service like this, you just come along and whisper in our hearts because you love us and you desire balance in our walk with you. Hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name.